The average person, they're aware of science, but it's very confusing. They want, just like Jeff said, black and white, and every scientific study ends with more research is required. So today milk will kill you, tomorrow it'll make you healthy, the next day it'll help your bones. It's like, it's very confusing. Just tell me what I need to know. So the fact that we're science-based makes it complicated. The public also likes free and natural and the good old days. And it's always sunny with a butterfly in the good old days. You ever notice that? So grandma and apple pie and the good old days, everybody loves that. And very few people have the context of the good old days to compare to today. And that becomes very obvious when you're having conversations. So Susan mentioned I grew up on a farm not far from here. I'm very happy to be going home in a couple hours after today's meeting. And I grew up on a dairy farm, but we also had 20 sows because we shipped cream. And I was very heavily involved with a child labor pool of my dad's. And so feeding 20 sows skim milk and their piglets. And I have a story about, because we kept our sows in what today we would call a horse's box stall, basically, with some boards in the corner with a heat lamp for the piglets. Can anybody picture what that might look like? Many people. So picture me, I'm about 8 with my dad going in because he's got to give the newborn piglets their iron injections and take their little milk teeth out. He's got a bushel basket. He walks into the box stall with this sow with her newborn litter of pigs that are at the back of the box stall. And this sow turns on my dad goes in, puts the piglets in the basket, and he's gonna hand them out to me. This sow turns and goes to attack my dad. So he puts the basket in front of him, and the sow bites through the basket trying to get to my dad, killing a bunch of piglets at the same time. Traumatic as a kid. And for my dad, obviously. So he jumps the pen and, you know, we saved a few piglets. How many people have that context today when we're having a conversation about sow stalls? They have the Disney context where all the animals talk and they all got the memo to be friends. They've watched Babe and Wilbur, right? They don't have that sow context. So that's one of our complications. But they do love animals, as do the people that work 365 days a year in the barn. The other important thing on this animal welfare discussion is people don't want to feel guilty about what they eat. They want to have a steak dinner, a nice glass of wine, milk, sub in your drink here, and just take their kids to soccer and not want to feel bad. So when they get the fundraiser, they hear about horrible things, let me just write a check, or please tell me it's not true because I don't want to feel bad about what I eat. So getting into the study, and again, for the statisticians in the room, I can spend lots of time on this, but today I want to just touch the highlights. We've worked with Ipsos for many years, since 1990, I believe was the first one, to see what does the public actually think about food and farming. And this is really important work for us because we have lots of anecdotes, lots of conversations. You know, oh, I met a guy at the Royal Winter Fair and he asked me questions about, you know, pigs and how we castrate or something like that. You have these anecdotal evidence. But this is really important to just go into the field, and we work with Ipsos for a reason. Obviously, they're very professional to say, how can we structure questions as unbiased as possible, as many open-ended, unaided questions, so it's not Crystal saying, here are my issues, what do you think about them, but rather, you know, let's have an honest survey with the public and see what they think. So for many years, since 1990 till 2009, our study very much focused on animal welfare, environment, and a little bit on biotechnology, with a bit on sources of information and credibility. And that was just kind of because those were the topics we tended to talk about. This past year, we considered it an evolutionary approach, and we broadened it out into the new S word, sustainability. And it's ironic for me because in university, when I went first year university, I heard sustainability for the first time. I always just thought that was good farming practices, you know, and then they came up with this word sustainability. And then I heard about sustainability for 4.5 years. It took me the extra semester because I did have 100% attendance at pubs, for those of you that went to Guelph, and you'll appreciate what that means. But anyway, so my 4.5 years at Guelph, I heard a lot about sustainability. Then I heard nothing about sustainability for a few years, and then it's back on the scene. So we thought this year, let's take our study and see how we can have a conversation with Canadians about sustainable food, which includes all of these topics. So instead of just focusing on animal welfare, just focusing on environment, let's have a conversation about all of these things and see how it plays out. Ooh, let's do a little game first, if I can back that up here. So, here are the five principles of sustainable food as developed by the Center for Food Integrity in the U.S. So we've got food safety, environment, food and health, economics and food affordability, animal health and welfare. How many people think environment is number one? A little show of hands. How many people think food and health is number one? Food safety? Animal health and welfare? Economics and food affordability? How many people hate putting their hands up for questions? Thank you. I got everybody. All right, that's excellent. All right, here's the way it rolled out. Don't be hurt. Animal welfare's at the bottom. It's five. It's a different way of looking at things, but when we have a balanced conversation with people and we ask them, we force them to rate these. We didn't just say, do you think this is important? Which we've done before. Do you think animal welfare is important? Yes. Is food safety important? Yes. Is it environment important? Yes. But when we force them to try to rank it, health and safety have always been number one. And food safety actually has been number one in our study for since 1990. So we have to remember we're in the business of safe, healthy food first, economics and food affordability next, and then environment and animal welfare. Now, I asked this, we hosted 2 days of a forum in Guelph in February with our partners with OMAF, 1 day on animal welfare and 1 day on environment. And it was farmers and government and industry stakeholders. Guests on the animal welfare day, we had clickers and we asked, what do you think the most important issue to Canadians is? And what do you think that group said? Animal welfare. And then on the environment day, with the same similar group of people, but all about environment people, and we said, what do you think Canadians think the most important issue is? Guess what they said? Environment. So we all have our own filters on, and I think for this group's perspective, obviously for 2 days we're here because we're really passionate about talking about animal welfare, but when we're talking to the public, we don't want the tail wagging the dog, particularly the Wonder Woman wearing dog, so we need to put it in perspective to say when we're having a conversation about sow housing, we need to talk about, all right, how does that impact the environment, safe food, human health and safety, my dad's story, as well as economics and affordability. And I always say we will grow pink pigs with purple polka dots in pine trees. If it costs, you know, $30 a pound and somebody wants to pay for that, awesome. We are in a country that has amazing food choices. We never show up at the grocery store and say, you know, ooh, will that make the kids sick today? That's an assumption, an expectation, and we're very fortunate to be in that situation. So what do Canadians think about farming? This is a scale, I call it the pie of positive thinking. 56% of Canadians are very or somewhat positive. This is the highest ranking this number's ever been since 1990, with an additional 32% in that lemon meringue piece of pie that are neither positive or negative. So 56%, it'll get you through school, but on your report card it would probably say needs improvement, if you remember that. So that's a little, it is highest it has ever been, but definitely some needs improvement. But that yellow meringue piece of pie, just in time for Thanksgiving, 32% that are unsure, basically, or in the middle. You can sub in a question on animal welfare, food safety, environment, and you will see almost that identical percentage of people that are like, don't know. That's huge. That's one whole third of our population that's saying, not really sure. I put this up just to show you the provincial data, but the Coles Notes, which is what got me through school, will tell us that it, over 20 years we've seen our country has absolutely become a melting pot. We used to see much more extreme differences between, for example, BC, Ontario, and the Maritimes. There would be huge differences across the provinces. Now you'll see there's hardly any difference from one region to the other, with the exception of on a few specific questions, but quite frankly, whether you're in BC or PEI, the thinking has gotten to be very consistent across. The other interesting thing is the differences between rural and urban. When we first started this work, when I was a kid out of school, we used to say, the city people don't get it. The differences between rural and urban disappeared in 2006. So now, just because somebody lives next door to my farm and they drive by it every day, does not mean that they understand what I do or why. How informed are they? Remember I said only 2% are involved with farming. This just confirms what everybody knows. 93% of Canadians say they know little or nothing about farming. And this is self-assessed. Obviously, we didn't give them a quiz. And then of specific farm types, and again, this is on our website, so you don't have to take it all down, but basically what this is saying is whether you're a dairy farmer that's spending a lot of money on advertising and profile, or a veal farmer that hasn't got that kind of budget or profile, nobody knows about any types of farming, basically. They rank things like dairy, beef, and grain as they know a little bit more, and I say that's because they're more visible as people are driving around the countryside, but basically people don't know. But do they want to know more? This is the positive news. 60%, almost two-thirds of Canadians say yes, they'd like to know more about farming practices. This is also a high. A very important point here is we used to ask, would you like to learn more about farming? If we say, would you like to learn more about farming, do you think that would be higher or lower? Only 20% want to learn more. And we used to ask just, do you want to learn more? And we get this 20% back, and I'd be like, ow, my feelings. You know, I'm like, oh, great, I dedicate a whole career to talking to only 20% of the population that actually cares about where their food comes from. And we said, wait a minute, maybe it's the word. Do you want to learn more about steel manufacturing? No, as long as your car starts, right? I don't care how the steel is made that goes into my car. So the same thing can be said in farming. They don't really care about learning. They don't want their degree in agriculture. And I would send that out to a very big big message to all of us who work in communications. We're typically trying to give people a PhD in animal welfare, and they're just like, so when does a cow start to give milk anyway? They have like the basic questions, and we're talking about cortisol over here, you know, and they're like, well, let's get the basics first. Trends and attitudes on specific areas. This is just an example of some of the message testing that we do, which supports some of Jeff's comments, saying, you know, how believable are the things that we say? So animal care is a top priority for farmers is a very common message. So with a pretty high ranking of about two-thirds of Canadians believe that, strongly believe that, versus only 24 or 25% of people that believe that animals have the same rights as humans. So this is important to say as a starting point for messaging, yes, animal care is a top priority for farmers, and then to back it up by showing that you actually do care, which is exactly what Jeff's message was. Then, going back to my earlier comment about working with a group like Ipsos to be sure we have a credible study, we asked them what's called an unaided criticism. So we didn't give them a list. We said, you know, what have you heard? What criticisms do you have about farm animal welfare? And the important bar here is, I believe, 47% say none. So that's pretty high. And what Ipsos said is basically, this is saying there are no huge issues on fire. High density and crowding of animals came up at 16%. They said when they do this type of question around something like forestry or other similar industries, typically there's a big red line on one topic. So what they're saying is it goes back to that big yellow piece of pie and the people aren't really sure, and this isn't on their radar. Where do they get their information? TV and media is still number one. I keep thinking internet will pass media, which I'll get to in a minute, but television and media still come up as number one. However, internet flips to number one when we break it down by age. So people under 35 go online. However, they may go to the Globe and Mail online. Right? So it's media, but it's online. And then as I say, don't ask Google. Google doesn't know. There's a rancher, the Hadricks, if some of you have met them from Montana. They're like, don't ask Google. Google has never helped a cow had a calf before. If you want to know something, ask me. Our younger generation absolutely goes online. And then for those of you that know that curve of adoption with early adopters and innovators over here and laggards over here. The innovators and early adopters, they go online first. So they're actively seeking information as opposed to just people that are sitting in the lazy boy going, that's interesting. So we need to be aware of that. For our friends like Sonia here today, retailers come up very high on the list, next to internet actually, for a source of information on food and farming, and then farmers right next to retailers. Here's a really important one for those of you that have been sleeping so far. Wake up, this is on the exam. The overall impression of sources of information. So they may go to the media for their information, but who are they listening and who do they actually like? Who do they want to have a conversation with? And this is really important. This is the highest ranking farmers have ever received in our study on this question, which basically the public views farmers as warmly as their friends and family. So depending on your family, of course, but for me, that's pretty positive. So I'm going to take that as a good news story, that the farmers are ranked actually higher than medical professionals, which is a first. So that's a huge positive boost, I think, to some of our efforts. So in summary, what does this mean? We need to put ourselves in perspective, ourselves, myself included, because we're so immersed in our industry and then our specific area within our industry. So for those of you that get media clippings, sometimes we get overly sensitized because your media clippings, what you read is so specialized to your sector or this topic, for example, that you're like, ooh, welfare's everywhere. Like, people, it's crazy. And it's like, well, that's because you get 100 clippings a day from across North America that are sent to you on one topic. So this kind of study is absolutely important for me to keep me grounded, to say the average person isn't walking into Tim Hortons getting their double-double going, wow, I'm really concerned about the hens today. You know, it's like, wow, they're like, oh, that's a really good egg sandwich, you know, and then, oh, let's talk about pigs, probably not today, but maybe when I take my kids to the local fair, I want to have that conversation. This research also really supports the value and opportunity of having just a very good Canadian positive conversation about food and where it comes to. Not a big, crazy, inflamed, oh, I'm really, you know, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore conversation, but a let's sit down over a cup of coffee and have a conversation about how our food is produced before it becomes a crisis. And to do that, we need to put it into perspective, to say, okay, let's talk about welfare, and then how does that impact on the environment, the people, and the cost to you, the public, and to me, the farmer that might need to invest $1 million in retrofitting my barn. Let's have that conversation, and not in a big defensive crisis, defensive way, but just in a really positive, proactive way. Overall, the perceptions of farming continue to increase and are improved significantly, but there is much work to be done in that lemon meringue pie to have a conversation with people before it becomes an inflamed issue. The believability of farmers, veterinarians, and researchers, many of whom are sitting in the room today, thank you, is incredibly high, and that's where our industry together has an opportunity to spend some resources on promoting that those people to the public. And of course, don't forget that the public, they don't know anything about farming, but they have opinions about it, just like you and I do about many topics. I definitely do that I don't know anything about. So to put it in perspective, 1931, the couple on the left is my grandparents. How many people have flown in and out of the Toronto airport? Okay, and Gary's, you have a site right near there. Dixon Road, those are the Dixons. That's my great-grandparents. They farmed on Dixon Road. I didn't get a cent out of any of those, whatever, 100,000 they probably got for the farm back in the day. But those are the Dixons from 1931. That's not that long ago. And then fast forward to 2013, the new Canadian Gothic with farmers with smartphones and GPS on their tractors. And look at the math. 10 million Canadians, 3 million farms, versus 33 million Canadians, 200,000 farms. So our farm and food care model is, you know what, we're only 2% of the population. We can't afford to subdivide any smaller than that. We need to get together and turn up the volume with one collective voice. How many people play Farmville that want to admit it publicly? I don't, but I get the messages like, so-and-so has too much fertilizer. They'd like to give you some. I'm like, what? That's ridiculous. Oh, so-and-so just got a penguin on their farm. I'm like, what? It's ridiculous. So here's Farmville, 39 million people 39 million, that's more than our population, liked Farmville. Look at Farmville. Have you ever seen a farm like that? They got penguins, and they give away fertilizer, apparently. A lot of people like it. How many people like this Farmville? This is the largest chicken farm in Ontario. Many of you have driven by it and on the way to Elora, to the research farm. And I actually had an interview with a reporter one day on a beef and hog farm across the road from this farm. And we were talking about beef and the hogs and having a really good conversation. He was like downtown Toronto guy, and he's like, yeah, but what about the factory farms? And I'm like, well, what do you mean by factory farms? Well, you know, factory farms. He's like, where are they? I'm like, well, like, this is a traditional kind of family farm, two generation. You have beef and hogs, the kids are involved. And then I point across the road to this very farm, and I'm like, well, that's like the largest chicken farm in Ontario. Like, is that what you mean? No, no, you know, like the factory farms. I'm like, I'm not really sure what you mean. I said, this is a large farm. There's a father and three sons, and they all want a farm. So they're supporting four families. Four families' incomes depends on these chickens. So 25 birds isn't really going to cut it with the kid with the basket, like me with my dad with the bushel basket. That's not going to support four families today. So it's a very large, very professional farm. Is that what you mean? He's like, no, like, I got to do some more homework on this. I'm like, well, we can't hide factory farms. You know, like, they're not hidden behind a berm or something. Like, I'm like, so anyway, he never did do a factory farm story. We had a good conversation, and that I always question, what do you mean by that? So what can you do, the people in this room? Talk is cheap. We need to turn up the volume on the good news stories. And we surveyed Ontario producers, and we haven't released this data yet, but look for it. We asked farmers about animal welfare, and because we do spend a lot of time talking to the public. So we're like, you know what, let's talk to our own people in a more scientifically valid way. So we did six focus groups with farmers about environment and animal welfare, again with our partners from OMAF, and then we surveyed 400 producers with Ipsos again. And here they had some fascinating things to say. One important thing they said was the number one threat they saw on the animal welfare front was third-party intervention from people who don't understand farming. So I really take that to heart. On the positive side, they said the number one opportunity on animal welfare was to talk to the public about all the good things that are happening in animal welfare. So quite frankly, I know a lot of producers and many people are sitting in the room. Many of them are good friends, including my own family. I feel farmers are a little beat up on animal welfare right now. They're starting to get a little defensive because you should do this, and we wrote a paper that says you should do this, and these people are telling you to do this. They're starting to get a little defensive, and I don't blame them. And they're also saying, you know what, we feel we're doing a lot of good things, but nobody hears about it. Because as Jeff says, if it bleeds, it leads. The guy caring for animals 365 days a year is not making the headlines. So what can you do? Every person in this room has some role in animal welfare in some way. Talk about it. There's lots of resources, there's lots of opportunities, one conversation at a time. We do a book called The Real Dirt on Farming. We're just about to start our plan for a new, improved, expanded version in 2014, so look for that coming soon. Virtual farm tours, about 150,000 people toured virtual farm tours last year, but it's not 39 million that liked Farmville. So if any of you have opportunities to help promote virtual farm tours, we promote it as transparent. Here's like what it looks like inside a farm. The egg farm tours are the Cadillacs of this project. They're the newest, most updated, and you can go in there and see free range, free run, aviary, regular, organic. It's just like, here's what it means, here's what's on the egg label, here's what this barn looks like, and free choice, basically. So our challenge here is to bridge the gap, back and forth, to have a conversation with people that are interested in where their food comes from, but to understand your target audience. If someone's never been in a barn or have never seen a pig, they absolutely have never seen a pig bite through a bushel basket and kill their own piglets, and you're trying to have a conversation with them about a sow stall, they have no context. So try to understand where your target audience is coming from, but to have a conversation with them in context. We need to continue to do the right thing, and the people in this room are the people that are making that happen. And so this is not a PR exercise where we can just say, oh, we'll take out an ad and we'll solve that. We start by doing the right thing. We're grounded in doing the right thing, and then we tell people about it. And I firmly believe, and I've talked about animal welfare with the public for a long time, as I say, in the trenches, one-on-one, having conversations, and now to our Manitoba pork friends question, online is where a lot of these discussions are. People have never been more interested in knowing where their food comes from in general, and I see that as a huge opportunity. So I'd really like to thank every person for being here. Many of you have been here many times, and there's lots of new faces in the room that I feel the conversations about animal welfare, we can take it out of the academic realm where many of these conversations have started, out of the defensive media realm where there has to be a villain and a victim, and have a good, honest conversation with the average person who eats and doesn't want to feel guilty about it. Thank you.